Bobby, you're here again.
Yeah, my doctor told me to reduce stress at work, so I come to Buffalo Wild Wings to eat lunch and watch sports. I get to pick one of seven entrees, like sandwiches and salads, plus one of seven sides.
Well, I like sides.
It's so affordable, I can finally take a vacation.
Where are you going to go?
Here, Tim, here.
Introducing the new B-Dubs Fast Break Lunch Menu, starting at a new low price. Dine in or order takeout weekdays between 11 and 2. Participation and availability may vary. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Hi, I'm Jaden Sterling, international best-selling author of The Alchemy of True Success. And thanks so much for tuning in to Soul to Profit Radio, bringing business to spirituality and spirituality to business. Each show, we are committed to helping you, our enlightened audience, discover your purpose, share your gifts, and monetize your message. Life is short, so let's get started.
Hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome, all my wonderful, loyal listeners from around the globe. I am your host, Jaden Sterling, and I am excited to have a fantastic guest on the show today. His name's Steve Gutzler. And we're going to, I think I'm going to get right into it because we only have about 45 minutes today. And let me introduce Steve. Steve is a dynamic and highly sought after speaker who has consistently received high honors in delivering his presentations to Fortune 500 companies, including Microsoft, Starbucks, Boeing, Cisco, Starwood Corporation, the U.S. Social Security Administration, and entrepreneurs around the country. Having coached and trained CEOs, presidents, and leading entrepreneurs, Steve's insights have garnered a reputation around the world as an authority on leadership and transformation, helping leaders develop leaders to multiply growth, how to lead change in turbulent times, and emotional intelligence for extraordinary leaders. Steve's passion and authentic style for raising more effective leaders is achieved by his unique gift of connecting to the audience on an individual level. And I'm excited to talk with Steve because emotional intelligence, I think, is a huge, huge component of success, whether we're working in a small corporation or a large corporation. And it's critical to have that key strategy and those kind of emotional set points within us. So welcome, Steve Gutzler, to the radio show today.
Thank you, Jaden. It's so great to be with you. I really, really look forward to it.
Wonderful. Well, will you share with our listeners a little bit about your story and how you started your leadership company?
Yeah, I'm happy to. I think that everyone has a story, and it's always unique. And mine actually started back in about the mid-90s when I was out of work for about 4 months, And I heard someone once say a recession is if your friend loses their job, but a depression is if you lose yours. And yeah. I don't think I was, you know, clinically depressed, but I definitely was in a dark place. But it was the first time in my life that I was able to sit back and really determine, you know, what do I want to accomplish? I wasn't yet at my midpoint years, but I was thinking, what can I really accomplish? What would I love to do? And I had this great dream. I always loved working with leaders. I always loved training, teaching, coaching, speaking. And I thought, this may be the perfect time to start a company. And I just recently had written out kind of a purpose statement, and then I wrote out 12 values, which I now call my code of honor, and I help other leaders establish their code. And I started to write out some specific goals that were stretch goals and really just dreams that were extravagant for me at that time, dreams of working with Fortune 500 companies, working with professional athletes, high achievers. And I said, boy, it would be so cool if I could take leaders on a quest, a leadership quest. And the next day, I formed my company called Leadership Quest and began. And I had to do other work. There were other things. And I tell people often, you know, your work is what pays you. Your calling is what kind of drives you. And soon, I was able to wed both of those and do it full time. And I've just had a wonderful opportunity. And I tell people all the time, my career, and I think most people, when they look at it, it's not up and to the right. It's not like a chart that goes up and to the right. It's more like a zigzag. You know, there's two steps forward, one step back. And I've had a lot of setbacks, a lot of key learnings. But with each one, I think you're able to surge a little bit further. And so that's kind of my passion. I do love that topic of emotional intelligence, like you said, Jaden.
Yeah, so and that's really terrific because this soul is called Soul to Profit Radio, and what we do on the show is help people discover their purpose and then monetize their message. And you really embody that because you were looking at your life and you knew what you enjoyed, you knew what you loved, and do you believe that this is your soul purpose of what you're here to do?
Yes, and you know, isn't that remarkable that we as individuals can discover that? And I think the big step is taking the courage to dive into that passion and purpose. For me, during those 4 months when I wasn't working, a lot of my self-esteem, a lot of things were crumbling around me, and I thought it was going to consume me. I thought it was going to take me out of the game. But what it did is it stripped away a lot of non-essentials, and it didn't consume me, it recasted me. And it recasted me into the best version of myself. And so I often tell people, maybe you're at a difficult spot, maybe you're at a crossroads, and this can be a time to redefine yourself. This can be a time to rediscover what you're really here to do. So, you know, I crafted that first mission statement. I still have it. It's on a...
Wow.
It's on a little daytimer sheet, a paper. It's about a paragraph and a half. I've now narrowed it down to one primary statement, which is inspiring greatness in individuals and organizations. And I wake up every single morning with that mindset. Who am I going to touch? Who am I going to inspire? Who's going to be better because of me? And at the end of the day, that's the only question. Well, I actually asked two questions. You know, who was better because of me? And the second one is, what did I really accomplish today in regards to that? So when you know that, it becomes the filter of everything you do. It gets you up in the morning. It gets you excited. And I can honestly say, I mean, I'm an early riser, and it's kind of my family laughs because I'm up usually by 5, 4:45. But the reason is I can't wait. I really honestly can't wait to start the day and to begin to see how it will unfold. So I'm very grateful I'm able to have discovered that, Jaden.
That's fantastic, Steve. And it's really clear that you love what you do. You're truly aligned with your purpose. And I also, you know, when I read your bio, I thought it was fascinating that you work very closely with your wife. You have three children, and you've been able to achieve balance plus a tremendous amount of success. What do you attribute that to?
Yeah, that's a good question because I think we all struggle with it. But like last night, we went to Hall & Oates outdoor concert and had a blast at that concert and had a picnic and danced and listened to the music. And I try to, when I work, I really work. I really try to be in that zone. But I try to keep it in a compartment. So there is a time where I click off in the evening, early evening, and shift into kind of this family mode. And some people, I think, blur the lines throughout the whole day from dawn to dusk till they go to bed. And it kind of wears them down. They're not really vital. They're not very present with their family. And I've done that. I've had, you know, days or times where that's happened. But I'm very intentional to click off, keep it in a bucket, and now it's like, okay, this is family time, or this is friend time, or this is recreation. When I go into workout, I see a lot of people take their phones, and when I go to Gold's Gym, I never take a phone. When I go into an appointment with a client, I don't take my phone. I go in there, and I'm very intentional to be eyeball to eyeball, be present, and it keeps from kind of getting your mind all fuzzy and worn down, and you can enjoy moments. So, and I love, like everybody, I really love family times, meals, breaking bread, laughing. And I think as long as we can enjoy the full texture, you know, of our lives, then when we work, it's alive and it's vibrant.
Yeah, you're fully present in each aspect of your life, and people feel that when they're around you, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I, you know, again, it's a battle for all of us, but and I've learned the hard way. You know, I used to carry my phone everywhere. I'd be checking things, but it became an annoyance to the people around me. And then I started picking up when I was with certain clients. I mean, in important engagements, you could be right in the middle. I could be coaching like a president of a company. We could be right in the middle of an important, you know, conversation. Hang on for a second, Steve. And I feel bad for people like that because no one is that important that certain things can't wait. And so,
yeah, the phone cut out a bit there when you said you can be right in the middle of an important, and then the phone cut out.
Oh, okay. Well, you can be right in the middle of an important conversation, yeah, and people can get distracted, you know. And so, again, being present and just really having a sense of greater balance, I think, is critical for leaders.
Yeah, it seems, you know, it's often a way to avoid, and that is I think it's very common that people have that phone situation going on, and they avoid going deeper with whomever they're with, whether they're coaching with you or with their family. It's a way to, you know, it's really become an epidemic, I think, to and pervasive with people, and it's an important part of, I think, emotional intelligence to recognize that, wow, I'm not being present at all with my family, and they deserve much better than this, and they deserve my time. And so is being present and in the moment a part of emotional intelligence?
Yes. I mean, what a great reminder that is, Jaden. The landmark book for me, I got into leadership. I was going along, clipping along lots of personal development kinds of talks and presentations I was developing, but I felt like there was a missing ingredient, a big chunk of the pie I was missing. And what it was training leaders around EI. So that's really how you manage your emotions, how you self-lead, how you self-manage your emotions, and how you handle relationships, how effective you are with relationships. Because honestly, everything is built on that. Personal relationships, your business is going to be built on relationships. And so it's crucial. And I read that book by Daniel Goleman, Emotional Intelligence, and then another great follow-up sequel book called Primal Leadership. And the impact moment, or the aha moment for me, was that our emotions, our moods, and our attitudes are contagious. And every interaction we have with people, we're not just exchanging information, we're literally influencing their mood, their emotion, and their attitude in that very moment. And they've studied ICU nurses that have come in and dealt with patients with very little human interaction, and the patients have meager improvements. And then they study these nurses that have high-touch human contact, where they're talking with them and saying, "Hello, Mr. Johnson, I'm going to trade out your IV today. You're looking better." Same medications, same procedures, a different emotional exchange, and the patients would get remarkably better. They've studied managers who may not be the most intelligent, but they have strong connections with their teams, high-performing teams, leaders who pay attention to the mood that they bring to the workplace, their organization, their attitude, how contagious it is. So, you know, they've done studies, Jaden, that say that about 83% of the time we can function at a high level with our task and our relationships. About 83% of the time, we're doing good. But it's the 17% when interactions or relationships become more challenging or the situation becomes more difficult that we learn the hard truth, and that is, will we continue to operate at a high peak potential, or will we self-sabotage ourselves? And this is the heart of emotional intelligence. It's not a soft skill. it's not second to your IQ. It probably is the number one predictor of how well you will do in your career, whatever that is, whether you coach or you're in a computer programmer or you're a second grade school teacher. It's where your reputation is built. And so, you know, we've all been around people that are bright, savvy, smart, technical, great vision, but they self-sabotage themselves. They can't manage their emotions under stress. So EI is the game changer, I think, for leaders.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And what are some aspects of EI?
Yeah, the competencies, there's no one set. I mean, if you went online, you'd get a lot. Daniel Goleman talks about, of course, one of the biggest ones is self-awareness, just understanding how powerful your emotions are and being self-aware, staying, you know, calm under pressure and recognizing that your emotions affect other people. So self-awareness. I think adaptability to change, flexibility. Many people are just so rigid and they get so locked in a zone, they can't work with people, they can't cooperate, they can't bend, their ego's too big. Adaptability, flexibility. People with high emotional intelligence can stay flexible. Communication, not only your spoken, but your unspoken. I'm coaching a woman from Microsoft, and we're dealing with her body language, and it sounds insignificant, but it's huge because her team and she has substantial responsibilities, and she needs to be aware of the message she sends to her team. Often she seems distracted, or they'll be giving feedback to her, and she won't give any real facial response. So communication. And I think that one of the biggest ones is empathy. That's reading and responding to other people's emotions. So, Jaden, it'll be like when you're talking, you're doing what you do, and you're giving a talk or a presentation, and people are sending you signals. This is interesting. I like this. They're leaning into the conversation. You pick up on that, so you drive that point even further. Or maybe they're leaning back and they're scratching their head like, what is this guy talking about? And you say, you know what, I need to just change it up. I need to go off the slot, you know, go away from the PowerPoint. We need to connect here. It's reading and responding to people. That's what empathy is. And it's a high, they say that Jack Welch, when he was at GE, they did internal 360 analysis of their leadership effectiveness. One of the components was empathy. He scored out 2 times higher than his middle managers. Mm. He was probably not only the smartest guy, but he had the greatest high-level emotional intelligence. So those are a few.
Wow, thanks for sharing that, Steve. That's really valuable information. And it seems like part of emotional intelligence can be aware of how the other person is feeling around you or how they're responding. So it can be something that, whether it's a one-on-one conversation or like your example of giving a talk in front of an audience and looking at their nonverbal clues and seeing how they're responding. And also, I imagine it works in everything, in business and personal relationships as well. I mean, we can always tell when our spouse is wanting to be heard more or listened to and is needing more from us, or you know, our children too. Same thing. It's pretty obvious. So you're saying become aware when you're interacting with people, become cognizant of the verbal, nonverbal clues, seeing how they're responding to what your actions and what you're saying. And then it just seems like it's a way, a really powerful way to figure out quickly what is working and what is not working. And then if things that are working well, we'll do more of that, right? Is that what you'd recommend?
That's a good point. I think you said that well. Life and leadership, whatever assignment you're in, hopefully you prepare. Hopefully you plan. So you're going to meet with a client. You're going to meet with a customer. You're going to do a presentation. You're going to do some form of work. I always say plan and you know, go the extra. Tomorrow I'm going to do a presentation at Boeing around emotional intelligence. And after I get off this call, I'm going to go back over a number of the notes that I've prepared for that. I'll need to plan that. I'll need to pre-script it. I'll need to almost visualize that presentation. But then it's kind of like playing a football game. I mean, here you planned it, you scripted it, you did the practice, and then all of a sudden the game comes and it's like, wow, I didn't anticipate this. And it could be as simple as, you know, the room isn't well lit, or, you know, the PowerPoint thing doesn't work, or, you know, the people seem a lot more tense. Well, use your script, but be adaptable and begin to really recognize that your secret weapon is always emotional intelligence. And some people get so locked into what they're going to do, how they're going to present it, that they're not fluid enough to kind of read the temperature of the other person. So I think that's a good point. And in interpersonal relationships are the same way. Say you want to have a specific talk with your child or your spouse, and you have it in your mind, but you get there and all of a sudden you realize, you know what? I kind of feel that this needs to go a different direction. They need a lot more affirmation. They need a lot more love than I thought. Mm-hmm. Or I just need to listen to them, and that would be the greatest gift I could give them at this moment. So it is a skill set. You know, the cool thing about it, Jaden, is I did a study on our intellect, and one of the things I read was our IQ is pretty well set at age 16. Now, we can continue to learn and grow in knowledge, but our basic IQ is set. Our technical and tactical skill sets begin to diminish, you know, as the years go, and I can tell you that's so true for me. But the ceiling is wide open with EI. In fact, as you mature, I think just through the seasoning of life, certain things settle down, your own personal self-confidence, your own self-esteem or self-concept. But that side of that, those emotional, intelligent qualities, it's almost like the ceiling is wide open. And the more you give attention to them, the higher your performance goes, the more attractive you become to clients and customers. People are attracted to individuals that, you know, can be present, that have great listening skills and have impulse control. We repel against people that can't handle their moods or their emotions. So it certainly is a fascinating subject that I think any of your listeners can grab hold of and learn.
I agree, Steve. That is really powerful, what you said, and it leads me to my next question. How do we self-manage our emotions and play big in the game of life and business as well?
Yeah, well, thank you for using the term play big. I love that topic, and I think in people's mind they get the sense of what that is. There's times when we play small, when we jump to judgment. We play small when we are doing all the talking and not listening. We play small when we overreact, when we retaliate. We play small when we get a flame mail, an email that has lots of verbiage, and we write ours and send it right away and play small and play into that whole small mentality. We play small when we go throughout our day and we allow doubts and fears to dominate our inner dialogue. We play big when we play up our personal strengths and our confidence. We play big when we receive a flame mail and we do not respond immediately because we're emotional. We play big when we self-manage our emotions, when everything inside of us screams, retaliate, get even. So the way you do it, it's not easy, because we're emotional and physical and spiritual beings, and this is what happens. Your intellect, that side of your mind, is kind of like the RAM of a computer. Your brainstem, that will monitor like your breathing, your heart rate, the temperature of your body. But there's this little piece in the brain, a little miracle called the amygdala, and that's the site of emotional memory, the site of emotional learning. And it has basically one job, and that is to seek out any threats. So as long as your day is going long, no problem. As soon as you're threatened, as soon as someone says something or sets you off, that amygdala fires and it sends cortisol into your body. And cortisol is a very powerful hormone. It's a stress hormone. And we use in our seminars and our talks and my keynotes that you can get emotionally hijacked in a second. In a second. When that happens, there's all sorts of physical things that happen. Your heart rate increases, you get sweaty palms, your breathing gets shallow, and you want to either fight or flight. But people with high emotional intelligence, it doesn't mean they don't have those same feelings. They just understand the signals in their body, and they learn to step back from that conflict. They learn to breathe. Rather than to push in and retaliate, they disengage for a few moments so they can re-engage more powerfully and play big. So here's the magic number if you want to write this down. Are you ready?
I'm ready, Steve.
Okay. So we talked about the 17%, those times in your day where things don't go well. That's going to build your reputation. That's going to really determine your impact as a leader, Jaden, whether you can self-manage those moments. Well, the other magic number is 18, and that is how long cortisol stays in your system at a heightened level. 18 minutes. So if you get emotionally hijacked, that thing is firing and you are fired up. And smart leaders, smart parents, smart husbands, smart wives, smart personal leaders, smart entrepreneurs, don't react in the 18-minute time frame. They allow that cortisol to dissipate. They do that through breathing. They do that through maybe taking a walk. They maybe don't respond to that email in those 18 minutes. They let themselves kind of regroup, and they come back in about 45 minutes, and they can kind of see more rationally, and they begin to pen an email that's much more wise and isn't going to sabotage a business dealing. So stopping, breathing, and there have been many times where when I've been hijacked, like at the airport, and you know, I'm almost ready to miss a flight or something's going wrong, and I'm having to breathe. I'm having to self-manage myself and play big and, you know, not do something I regret, like, you know, tell somebody off or, you know, overreact. So does that make sense?
It does, and it's, you know, I know it's separate from intelligence, but it sounds a very intelligent approach.
Yeah, it's interesting because when I do these trainings, Jaden, you can imagine a lot of people have their guard up. A lot of people, like I'll go into Boeing tomorrow, you have a lot of engineer minds, very smart, bright people. But when you begin to explain the brain science behind emotional hijackings, when you begin to explain the power of cortisol, because we all know it. I mean, probably yesterday I was hijacked at least once.
Mm-hmm.
And but the more aware, again, self-aware, the more self-aware you become, you begin to self-manage, you begin to say, you know what, maybe it's not wise for us to try to solve this marital issue at 10:30 at night when we're both in a halted state, which is hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. We're definitely tired.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the emotional capacity. Why don't we regroup in the morning and talk about this tomorrow?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And I don't know if I've ever really solved anything past 10 o'clock with my wife. And that I can think of. So, and when I'm in a very emotional state, I've not done the best job with my kids or a client or a customer. Sometimes if I can disengage, I can re-engage more powerfully.
Mm, I like that. You know, it reminds me of a very good friend of mine years ago said to me, he said, the best revenge is a good life.
I like that.
Yeah, I did too, because it speaks to exactly what you said. You know, if you get your buttons pushed, don't react. Take some time, just, you know, let it go, ignore it, and keep on living your life. Live a good life, and, you know, it doesn't matter what people say or what they do. It's a matter of being true to you and staying on your path and recognizing that your words, your actions have an effect on other people. And like you say, that 17% of the time, how you're responding in a difficult situation really does make or break our level of success. And I think people who strive for very high levels of success have to be even more cognizant of that.
Yeah, there's a lot of factors that grow as you get further into your career. I think there's other issues, ego issues, different things where you feel like, well, you know what, who is this young buck talking to me about this? And you have a tendency to want to put them in their place. Well, that's playing small, and that's ego-driven. And so at the end of the day, it's really interesting to assess, how did I deal with the people in my life? Not just the people I led, but the people that maybe challenged me or frustrated me. And, of course, it's always easier, I think, in business, professional life, than it is at home. I think the greatest challenge for most of us is putting EI to work in the home and in our personal relationships, and really having courageous conversations, asking forgiveness, and really practicing it, not just, you know, putting it to practice in the best place of all, which is your personal life.
Yeah, and you're right. It is about practicing it. It's about looking at a behavior, acknowledging that it can change because you're wanting to be better. You want to be a better spouse. You want to be a better father. You want to be a better partner. And then knowing that something has to change. So can you talk a little bit about that, how we can identify what aspects within ourselves that need to change, and then what are a few things that we can do to make those changes?
Well, that is a great question, because rarely would anyone ask me that, and I love that question, because so if I were to coach a high-level executive, a high-peak performer, the number one assignment I'm going to give them once we get started is to do kind of like an internal 360 analysis. In other words, I want you to select just three or four people. It doesn't have to be 12 people, three or four, a family member, a peer, maybe someone you're leading, and maybe someone else, you know, a customer or someone that a professional acquaintance. And you go to them and you ask them, I want you to be my loving critic, and I want you to tell me an area in my life that I can improve upon. Tell me if I have any annoying behaviors. Tell me if there's an area that is a blind spot. I have leaders, top leaders, do that. And to a person, people will come up with similar traits or characteristics, if you will. So it may be, well, honestly, you're not that good at listening. you know, you're such a good leader that you get to doing all the talking, and the rest of us are sitting here waiting or watching. And so if there was an area you could improve, it might be that listening skill. And I've had leaders thank me because they said, Steve, I would have never discovered that competency of EI had I not asked people. And so I would urge, if you're serious about your personal development, if you're really serious about it, ask a family member, ask a peer, ask a customer, ask somebody you work with, and just say, share with me a blind spot. Share with me an area I can improve. And more than likely, it will be an EI type of competency. It won't be, well, you got to get smarter, or you really need to improve your computer skills. It's not going to be something technical. It's going to be something of an interpersonal, relational trait. And like, for instance, when I did it, what came back to me is I tend to control things a little too much. I tend to control, you know, I get really charged up and excited, and it's like, okay, this is the way we're going to go. Let's go. And often I'm not listening enough, and I need to be more collaborative and bring people into the process a little bit more. So I'm really working at that. And so that's how I would go about it.
Steve, that's a great exercise. I like that. And I'm kind of wincing a little bit because I'm imagining the conversation I have with my wife tonight over dinner when I ask her that question.
It's a good kind of hard, because it's like you really grow. You really grow. It's like I go to the gym a lot, and for years I was doing the same workout. And I had this annoying thought running around in my mind that I could do better. It wasn't like I could work out harder. There could be a better way. And it took a lot of pride, it took a lot of humility, I should say, to go to a trainer. I don't know why. It wasn't like I felt like I was so great, but it was just like, oh, I don't know. And I know what they're going to do. They're going to take me through this same kind of holistic deal. I don't want to do. But, you know, the moment I humbled myself and we got a trainer, I discovered so many areas that I had ignored in my body. I'd had injuries and different things. And it was like, this was 2 years ago, and I've like, if I was at like a 6 or 7, I've gone up a couple notches, all because I asked for help.
Difficult to do sometimes.
Yeah, it is.
Well, but important. And I mean, we can use that analogy with everything, personal growth, life coaching, you know, I'm a big proponent of having a coach, and I have very close mentors around me who are highly successful and have achieved the level of success that I desire to achieve. And just by connecting with them consistently on a regular basis, I learn. It's like through osmosis. And they can point out things that we often don't see within ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, coaching, it's such a great thing. It accelerates your growth. What it does is, if you get a good coach and then you put in there a mentor, I really think you'll accomplish probably twice as much in a year, and that's across the board. When you go it alone, when you go solo alone, and you're just doing your work, there are so many inner battles and blue moments and setbacks and funky days. But if you get a coach, they keep you accountable, they keep you sharp, they inspire you, they're pointing you forward. And so it becomes like a huge pulling power, and you accelerate so much faster. So I agree with you. Coaching, to me, is it's not a luxury. It's just what you would spend if you say, well, I really don't have the money. You can't afford not to, because if you spend, if you invest in it, what it's going to do, your income stream will jack up as a result of it. And I really believe that with all my heart.
I agree. You know, at the very least, get people's feedback, right? Whether you're not ready to take the leap on coaching, but get, you know, I used to, when I operated as an entrepreneur, when I left corporate America when I was 31, I built a very successful business over 14 years, but the first 5 or 6 were very, a big struggle, and they didn't have to be. All I needed to do is ask people around me, hey, what do you think about this, or what do you think about that, or... You know, it's so simple, but we forget it. We forget to do that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And that's one thing I really admire. I don't know you that well, but we've talked on a couple occasions, and that is the one thing I really can see why you do as well as you do is you are open, you are coachable, and you're so capable of coaching others, which you do, but I really like that teachable heart and spirit that you have.
I appreciate that, Steve. Thank you. That means a lot to me coming from you, and I admire your work. I think what you're doing is vital to success personally and professionally, and continue to spread your message out there, enlighten people about this emotional intelligence, because it's critical to anyone's success and happiness.
Yes.
So will you share with our listeners where they can find about more about you and your work?
Yeah, sure. I'm happy to. I've got a website that's just my name, Steve Gutzler, G-U-T-Z-L-E-R, stevegutzler.com. And it's Steve Gutzler and Leadership Quest is my brand. I do a lot of keynoting around the subject of EI leadership, training, workshops, those kinds of things. And I do have coaching clients. And they're not all like CEOs or presidents, but they're, a lot of them are entrepreneurs and individuals that are emerging and really have kind of that game-changing mentality. So I try to align myself with people that are in growth modes, that are ready to go. And then I love Twitter, and it's just at Steve Gutzler. And then my homepage, or kind of my fan page, I should say, for Facebook is Steve Gutzler and Leadership Quest. And you have to use the little and sign. So Steve Gutzler and Leadership Quest. So those are the three primary social media hangouts and places that people can find me.
Terrific. And I know you have a couple books out on Amazon. Where can they? Can you talk a minute or so about that?
Sure. Yeah. Thank you. I've got the one little. They're e-books, but they're pretty good. I think they're more like power packed with info. One is called The 2-Minute Drill for Leaders, and you can find that on Amazon, The 2-Minute Drill for Leaders. And then the other one is the EI, which is Emotional Intelligence for Personal Leadership. And Emotional Intelligence for Personal Leadership. And that's an e-book that you can download onto a Kindle or any of those. And it takes people through kind of a process of me coaching a woman in her emotional intelligence, and it gives you some kind of tips of how to grow your own.
Terrific. And they can find that on Amazon.com?
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Great. Steve, thank you. You've been a fantastic guest. Thank you for your words of wisdom and for your time, and would love to have you back on the show.
Well, thanks. I really enjoyed it, and I count it a real privilege, so thank you, and to all your listeners as well.
Great. Have a wonderful day. Well, there you have it, Steve Gutzler. What a neat guy, and he has such a balanced life. He works with his wife. He works from home, and they've been able to build quite a profitable business and an impactful business. Steve works, as you heard him say, very closely with people, helping them identify the power of emotional intelligence, because it's easy to overlook. You know, we, like he said early on in this interview, is that it's not, people think of it as a soft topic or something that, you know, is really, they don't give it as much credence as it deserves. And the reality is that it's important to be aware and empathic with the people that you're around, you know, how you're affecting them, whether it's a customer or an employee or someone within your organization, and to really get an understanding while you're talking with them and communicating with them, the outcome that you're getting. So wonderful stuff. In 2 weeks, I'll be back on the air August 28th. I'll be here right here at Soul to Profit Radio. I'm interviewing 6-time Emmy Award-winning media coach Sean Duperin. And it will be right here on Soul to Profit Radio. She's going to help us figure out the essential keys to media power and to sharing your message. Again, she's a 6-time Emmy Award-winning media coach. So make sure you dial in, listen to the call. It's going to be fantastic. It'll be live. And thanks, everyone. I hope you have a fantastic week. Remember to do those things this week that fill your soul and your wallet. To find out more about me and my work, please visit my Facebook page at Jaden Sterling Wealth and Wisdom. That's Jaden, J-A-D-E-N, Sterling like Sterling Silver, Wealth and Wisdom page. Click the like button while you're there, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Take care, everyone.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Yesterday, Cliff Sora shared a top 10 list of hot fusion restaurants, a vegan gluten-free mashup recipe, and a podcast featuring organic food trends. Oh, TMI, too much internet information. That's oversharing. Cliff, Geico has something worth sharing with your friends. Like how on geico.com you could save hundreds on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim. Gluten-free info that's easy to swallow. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.